Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yes, Kyrie is back, and look at this, so are we. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins in the house. And Perk, why you got to put my chain to shame?
I know. First of all, why neither one of y'all told me we wearing Peace to Chains today?
I mean, what I didn't realize I had to show out like this.
Dang!
What you on that chain, Perk? You know, oh, there we go.
It's just a little picture of the family. Nothing too major.
Damn, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here looking super lame
I'm
today.
I'm going to let my chain hang low.
It's looking good. Guys, we had to dress our best today because we know it is a big night. The big three is back. Kyrie Irving returning to action, making his long-awaited return on the road versus the Pacers. The Nets hoping Kyrie can help to stop a three-game skid that now has the Nets second in the East. While Kyrie can only play in away games, look at this. There are 22 of them left on Brooklyn's schedule, with the team holding a league-best 13-3 road record so far this season. Now, the Nets do have a tough stretch coming up on the road, with three of their next five opponents currently being projected as playoff teams in the East. Okay, Perk, let's start with you here, because the Nets, they will become favorites in the East now with Kyrie back. So what will another chip mean for Kyrie's legacy?
You know what? It will mean everything. And it will shut a lot of haters up, including myself, all right? I fall in that category as being a Kyrie hater at times, not because of what he does on the court. It's his actions outside of basketball. And so when you look at Kyrie Irving, I think if he comes back, he's telling the world that, hey, I do want to play. Yes, I have issues as far as getting vaccinated. We understand that. But I'm here for my brothers. And when you think about Kyrie Irving and what he's already done for the game of basketball, we're talking about one of the guys that probably had the greatest handle of all time, one of the best finishers around the basket. I mean, the guy has the complete package offensively, maybe top five most skilled player ever. So for him to come back and to help the Brooklyn Nets win a championship, it does everything for Kyrie's legacy. It puts him high up there in the rankings for his all-time greats. And you know what else it does? It helps the Brooklyn Nets out, because James Harden is a guy that is not signed back. He's not under contract after this season. And so when you look at what Kyrie could do and what he could help, even if it's on the road, I always said this, Charlie and Swagoo, give me a part-time Kyrie than a no-time Kyrie, because I know on the road you need that superstar power. At home, you have KD and James Harden, so your role players play better at home, so you can win home games and get away with not having Kyrie Irving.
You've been saying
no
that.
Yeah, no doubt, Perk. No doubt. I was listening to KD talk about Kyrie getting back, and he was saying we got to support our brother. We're happy to have him back. And obviously, it's a very nuanced conversation that we have to have about, you know, him coming back to the league and only playing away games. But the bottom line is, hoop was hoop, man. Like, my initial problem with Kyrie was the whole voice for the voiceless thing, because I knew at some point, hoop was hoop. He was going to come back to the game. Mm-hmm. And when you look at this situation now, from both sides, from Kyrie's side, Kyrie wanted hoop. Like, Kyrie does some irrational things. Like, let's just all be honest about that. But at the end of the day, he is convicted in his way of thinking. I respect that. Perk, you know me and you talk about this all the time. If you are what you are, stand on it. Like, that's it. That's it. I might disagree. Yes. I might be critical of it. I might not like I might actually hate it, the stance that certain people are taking on individuals. But the bottom line is, my respect comes from you standing on what you saying and what you plan on doing. So when you look at this situation holistically with Kyrie coming back with the Brooklyn Nets, yeah, it helps the Brooklyn Nets. We're talking about one of the top basketball players, skill-wise, we've ever seen play in the NBA. The rapport, the synergy in basketball takes time. I'm interested to see how long it takes for these guys to get actually in sync in games. Remember, they haven't played a lot together. Like, they all are so super talented that they can be, that they can score enough to get through the tough times, get through the miscommunications and the things that may come about from not having that time on the court. But outside of that, we looking at the Brooklyn Nets. Look, before the season started, everybody wanted, well, I know I wanted, I wanted to see the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets play in the NBA Finals. And that was along with Kyrie being in that series. Mm-hmm. Don't look like we're going to get the Lakers there, Perk. But ultimately, when you get Kyrie back with the Brooklyn Nets, who's already playing well, and you look at KD and James Harden, who I think relationship-wise with Kyrie are willing to relent in order to let him get going because he's been off the court for so long, this team is about to take off. And we all know Kyrie can hoop, and he's going to make the Brooklyn Nets better.
All right, and we have one more joining the debate, Miss Monica McNutt. How you doing today?
Good morning, Charlie. Hey, fellas. Hey, the bust up. The
good morning.
And Perk preview. It's a terrific podcast, by the way. I am still waiting for my invitation. But good morning.
Much love, sis.
Monica, I'm actually really happy. I'm really happy you're here because all for the past week, you and Perk have been on opposite sides of the fence as far as Kyrie is concerned. So the question that we've been talking about is, what will another chip do for Kyrie's legacy? Your thoughts?
Oh, man. All right. So obviously it will add to his legacy. But I have this interesting, slightly interesting theory that this could be in some way a bit of a Pandora's box. And let me just take y'all down this mental rabbit hole for a second. Remember when load management became a thing, a prevalent thing, so much so that Commissioner Silver ended up addressing it. And there was this idea of penalties for guys missing games and so on and so forth. I pray to God that we do not have to repeat pandemic living. But I do wonder that if he's able to get this done as a part-time player, what type of exceptions are we then potentially opening the door to in the conversation of the elite, of the most elite in our league, in terms of what their talent and ability will allow them to do without necessarily the same commitment as everybody else on the roster? Now, I will say in this process, Swagoo, I'm with you. Kyrie has never misled us. I loved the way that he was honest and candid when he spoke to the media in his return, admitting that he wasn't prepared for some of the sacrifices that came with his decision. However, it's kind of like when you make a big-time purchase the first time, right? Like, the first time you got like, and then it becomes a habit, and then you just kind of wonder, you know what I'm saying? Like, will we see some remnants of this very unique year, especially if they're able to be successful?
Well, here you go again, Monica. You know, you come on here, and I feel like you come on here with a purpose to raise my blood pressure up. We just talked about this last week. We talked about this last week. The simple fact that, look, when you're a franchise guy, when you're a guy that's getting paid the big bucks, sometimes you just get special privileges. It is what it is at this moment, okay? And so, you know, at the end of the day, I understand what you're saying, opening up this, but it's a lot of things that are transpiring throughout the NBA that I don't agree with. Guys sitting out, things to that nature. And it's going to come a point, because the CBA is coming up, where they're going to address these issues. And I guarantee you, it's going to be a lot. The owners are going to be waiting at the front door. You could guarantee that. But for us with this, I think this is out of Kyrie Irving's control. All right? So he had an option. And it's, you know, like I told you before, if he was playing in any other city, we wouldn't even be talking about this besides what, maybe Golden State. But if he was like in Houston or Philly or whatever the case may be, this wouldn't even be a conversation because of the rules that's in place, not only by the NBA, but by the state of New York. So Kyrie only could do what Kyrie can do, and that's come back and say, you know what, I don't want to get the vaccine. He's not the only player in the NBA that's not vaccinated. So if he only could play road games, then that's out of his control. He just have to show up and compete at road games.
Bert, we are not at odds there. You're right. But all I'm saying is, mark it down. January 2022, the season of 2021-22, if we saw something very unique be successful, how does that parlay? Even if it's a case of some of our favorite guys still starting to get older, wondering what it looks like for them to be able to compete in a way that's manageable for their bodies. Like, I'm just saying that this is going to be an interesting wrinkle in the fabric of how we proceed as NBA fans and consumers, especially with our star players.
Yeah, but Monica, I'm not going to let you get off the hook that easy. You still haven't gave us an answer. I want to know if Kyrie comes back, well, he's coming back, winning another ring, what would this do for his legacy?
I mean, it makes sense. Nobody ever said Kyrie wasn't good, Perk. Like, I feel like you're trying to put me in a corner.
I didn't say that. No, I'm not.
I got you. I got you. It will only add to his legacy. And in many ways, while we give him the blues for maybe not being in love with basketball, if he can win another championship in this scenario, I think it actually, oh, God, I think in a way it is a positive because as much as we love our favorite athletes who are most focused and will give it all to the game, there is something to be said about a human being's holistic approach to who they are. Do I love how we have gotten here? No. But will we say that this man has potentially been a Hall of Famer, has won multiple championships, and was still able to honor himself in the process? I do think that's the reason to tip your cap just a little bit.
Okay, well, you can all agree that it would do big things for his legacy. But look, bottom line, Kyrie, he's back as of tonight. He can only play on the road. But the good news is the Nets have a lot of road games coming up, so he will be available for 12 of their next 18 contests. Okay, Perk, Monica, we're going to say goodbye to you for right now, but we're bringing you back later, so stay tuned, everyone. Okay, now let's move on to the NFL, where the regular season wraps up this week, and the Packers already own the NFC and have what should be a cakewalk against the Lions on Sunday. Now, while Aaron Rodgers has been putting up MVP numbers this season, he's also brought a lot of drama to Green Bay from missing OTAs to his vaccination status. But is he bothered by it? You tell us, Aaron.
It really comes down to, pardon my French, but giving less. I think that it's a maturity comes from aging, from making mistakes, from failing, from being too sensitive at times, from taking things too personal at times. And it's about growth. There's a lot of joy in being unapologetically yourself. And I think in life, we respect people the most often who are that way.
Okay, and look who it is, Pretty in Pink, my lovely co-host on the First Take Her Take podcast, Kimberly A. Martin. Hello. Welcome to First Take. Okay, guys, the latest drama, because there's always something going on in Green Bay, Rodgers' indecision about his plans for next season. Marcus, what's best for Rodgers' future?
To get out of Green Bay. Listen, this is a phenomenal year that he's having as an individual and the football team, but I think it's run its course. And listen, we are in the middle of a season where they're having a tremendous amount of success. And I said this before the season. We gonna talk about Aaron Rodgers in the offseason and the things that he's gonna talk about on Pat McAfee show every week. But ultimately, winning is the thing that's gonna mask it all. Right? If the Green Bay Packers was losing, we would be so focused on what is Aaron Rodgers doing? Where is he going? What time is he leaving the Green Bay facility on the last game of the season? But we sit here with this team number one in the division. Nobody ever questioned if Aaron Rodgers was going to have a successful season. Nobody, he's been a successful quarterback for the majority of his career. And when you look at the Packers in their particular situation and you think about everything that's happening in the landscape of the NFL, I don't know if the Packers ownership, management, people in charge are really confident that just because they're winning and have an opportunity to win a championship, that Aaron Rodgers is going to just, that's going to magically make everything great about him coming back to Green Bay. Sometimes we get lost because games are happening and we love the season. We love NFL football. We love the season. But all of these things will course correct when we get to the end of the season. Even if the Green Bay Packers win a Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the Super Bowl, I still see exit for Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think it's about football. I don't think it's about the opportunity to have good teammates around him. I've never been one in that boat that he hadn't had enough talent around him or they needed to draft 30 wide receivers so he could score more points. He the league MVP. Somebody catching the damn football. But ultimately, when we look at this particular situation with Aaron Rodgers moving forward, because in the season, all we're going to talk about is football, playoffs, and Super Bowl. That has no bearing on me thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to want to exit Green Bay after this season, regardless of whatever the results may be. And it may be me believing that he wants a new thing. He wants to go and be in a part of the country, particularly that he's living his life in. But ultimately, none of this winning, none of this potential Super Bowl has changed my mind about Aaron Rodgers leaving the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, after all of that, I just have two words. I just have two words. Go where? He should leave.
Anywhere
but
you want
go,
to.
Go,
okay. Anywhere you
okay.
want to.
Okay, the reason I ask go where is because it's cute. We all want, people always want to test their options, always want to see if there's something better. Could I replicate what I've done here over there? It clearly would increase his legacy, the way we talk about Aaron Rodgers, the way we look at Aaron Rodgers, if he went somewhere else and was able to win a Super Bowl. However, the reason I ask go where is because not everybody is going to be able to do the Tom Brady. Just go and have everybody join, and then you win a Super Bowl. It is not that easy. Go to Denver. Okay, you go to Denver, let's say. Look at that division. You go, what other team? You go to the Dolphins. You go to, like, Aaron has everything he wants in Green Bay. Well, everything he needs. Let me change that. Because I don't know what this man wants.
Okay.
I don't know what this man wants. And I don't know. Nobody I'm not
knows.
Doing that psyche eval now. I don't know what he wants.
But the question is,
what is better for Aaron Rodgers, to stay or go? The clear answer is to stay. Because when you look at that NFC North, it's the Packers. It's the Packers division. The path to the playoffs is much easier in Green Bay.
Kim.
Than other divisions.
He's been in Green Bay 17 years.
Right.
The path has been easy for a long time. He still told us all offseason he wanted to leave. So I don't.
The question is not whether he will leave or not. What is better for Aaron?
Aaron told us that it was best for him to go somewhere else.
Aaron told us a lot of things, if you really want to be honest. He's told us a lot of things. He told us that he's not happy. He also told us that he's happy.
I got to answer the question with what I believe the case to be. And I believe Aaron Rodgers wants to get out of Green Bay still.
But is that better for him? He could want to try to get that new thing over there and try to run the Tom Brady. There's only one Bucs situation where it makes sense.
What's best for Aaron Rodgers' future is to go wherever Aaron Rodgers can be his authentic self. That's what he just said in Pat McAfee. Wherever he can go to be his authentic self and to be true to what he believes, that's where he needs to go. And let me go back on something you said about Aaron Rodgers leaving. Aaron Rodgers goes somewhere, you know players going to follow, Kim. You done covered this game for a long time. And guess what else? Devontae is a free agent after this season, too. Mm-hmm. So that has a lot of bearing on whether if Aaron Rodgers go to San Francisco and San Francisco can sign Devontae Adams, what you think they're going to do?
They'll be a good team. They'll be a Super Bowl team.
My point is, it's only a few guys we can attribute leaving and having the same type of success. Tom Brady was going to have success in Tampa. That didn't surprise anybody. It may have been surprising that they won a Super Bowl. It's hard to do. But we knew Tampa was going to be a playoff team at minimum because Tom Brady went there. If Aaron Rodgers leaves and go to a team that's on the cusp of having success, they're going to have success. He's one of those few players that can always elevate the situation and the construct around him. This was dysfunctional, Kim, in Green Bay before he got back. They are about to be the one seed in the NFC. That speaks to Aaron Rodgers' ability and talent to play the game.
Okay.
And now we get to the point of what's best for his future. Aaron Rodgers, to me, all of the things that I've heard him say about the Green Bay Packers in all offseason, the best thing for his future is to get the hell out of there. Because obviously he got a lot of problems with the place.
Okay.
I don't know what else to derive from it.
It's good. I mean, listen, I can't say that there's dysfunction within the organization. There might just be dysfunction in the bubble that is Aaron Rodgers. But let's talk about the fact that he is potentially looking at back-to-back MVP seasons. But look, there's a lot of other things that we have to evaluate because it's not only about what he does on the field, but also off the field. One voter, NFL insider Hubba Kush, speaking on 670 The Score in Chicago, revealed why Rodgers will not have his vote.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah, you could make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady. And so from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice. Do I think he's going to win it? Probably. You know, a lot of the voters don't approach it the same way that I do. Others do, who I've spoken to. But one of the ways we get to keep being voters is we're not allowed to say who we are voting for until after the award has been announced. I'm probably pushing the envelope by saying who I'm not voting for. But we're not really supposed to reveal our votes.
Okay, so a little inside info as to how the voting really works. Now, Arkush is currently an analyst and reporter for Westwood One Radio on NFL Game Broadcast. He's the longtime publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly. He's based in Chicago. He's worked on Chicago Bears radio broadcast from 1987 to 2004. So the man, he's put his time in. Okay, and now also another man who's put his time in, Mr. Harry Douglas, joining First Take.
That boy bought a health today.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Looking good. We're happy to have you. Marcus.
Hey, we read it, baby. We read it.
Marcus, let's start with you here. Should drama cost Rodgers a back-to-back MVP title?
No, I could care less what the hell Aaron Rodgers do in his own time. I can care okay. less what he say. I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers play football. He's the most valuable player in the NFL. I watched the Hall of Fame committee for years not put Terrell Owens in the Hall of Fame because of how they felt, because of how they felt about how he acted. Now, there is egregious things that take you out of consideration, obviously, but Aaron Rodgers ain't went there to me. Like, I'm critical of Aaron Rodgers with the whole, with his persona of not caring, but also caring what people say. That's my issue with Aaron Rodgers more than anything. Outside of that, the dude, he seems like his team respects him. He plays at a very high level. And we know damn well the Green Bay Packers wouldn't be where they are if Aaron Rodgers wasn't their quarterback. So when you vote for MVP, everybody is different. Everybody has a different standard, the way they go about determining whether guys are MVPs or all-stars or Pro Bowlers or whatever. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in the NFL. That's it. We look at the games. We look at the games week in and week out. We look at his impact on the games. We have a sample size of him not being in the game 1 week for the Green Bay Packers, and we see the difference. He's the MVP of the NFL.
At least I understood the debate with baseball in the steroid era. At least, like, I understood that because it affects the stats. But we're talking about, we just don't like this man's personality. Like, what are we honestly doing? Because let me tell you, there are a lot of big jerks in the media. This is what I don't understand. Why are we making this award about anything else but what happens on the field? It is the most valuable player award because of what these players do. If the case is, well, Jonathan Taylor brings so much to that indie offense, and that's what you want to argue, okay, think you're wrong, but that's fine. At least it's based off of the football. But for you to sit here on radio or publicly just say this man should not get this award because of how he's treated everybody, it blows my mind because this is why, as a reporter, this is why I feel like fans have an issue with media. Because we make things that shouldn't be personal, personal. This is not about whether you like Aaron Rodgers. I may not agree with whatever he says about COVID and the vaccine, but I know that man is a baller. That is two separate things to me.
Look, Kmart, I'm trying to get past the part where he say the fan base had to suffer. Suffer? This damn fan base has not been suffering. In 2019, they went 13-3. In 2020, they went 13-3. He won the MVP. Right now, they're 13-3 with the number one seed in the NFC. Everything has to come through Lambeau, the frozen tundra. That fan base hasn't suffered one bit. Now, if you want to talk about suffer, it's a lot of damn organizations out there who has suffered. Suffered and wish they could have an Aaron Rodgers in his off the field, whatever debacle he has going on. But I want to give Aaron Rodgers credit because I don't know how the hell he compartmentalized the stuff that he does have going on off the field and then go out there and still play at the MVP level every time he touches the football field. So I don't understand it. We got to stop having people in these positions come out saying things like this, because Aaron Rodgers on the football field is the most valuable player in the National Football League. We've seen what this Green Bay team looked like when he wasn't out there against the Kansas City Chiefs. I seen those receivers' body language and how they was upset and just looking up in the air like, damn, I wish Aaron Rodgers was here today.
All right, yeah, Harry, you said it really well. The fans are not suffering by any means. In fact, the franchise is seeking their second 14-win season in the franchise's history. The last one was in 2011.
I just don't get it. It's just the emotion for me.
Go ahead. Let's go to the AFC now, where the Titans are expected to designate Derrick Henry to return to practice from injured reserve today. That's according to sources telling our Diana Russini. And as you can see here, Tennessee currently the number one seed in the AFC, which includes a first-round bye in the playoffs. And check this out. Looks like someone here on the show had a magic ball of some sort.
I'm going to predict that the Tennessee Titans make the Super Bowl. That's going to be my bold prediction.
You didn't sell that enough.
Let me look into this camera right here. Put me on my one screen. Damn it. The Tennessee Titans, I'm predicting, going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Now, is that good enough for y'all?
I have the Tennessee Titans winning the Super Bowl. You know why? Because they have a three-headed monster in A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and a Pro Bowler quarterback in Tannehill. Tell me who's going to stop this offense.
This is too good. Harry, you made that prediction on September 3rd.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
And look, I mean,
indeed.
Yeah.
We ain't even in the playoffs yet. This man got his crown on.
Crowning himself.
I mean, look, he's some type of a sorcerer, as it seems. So let's
okay,
have
Ms. Cleo, whatever.
Okay, right. Harry, look, I obviously have to start with you here. It's time for you to gloat.
Yeah.
And you can repeat yourself. Which team is coming out of the AFC?
I'm going to choose the Tennessee Titans. And I'll say this. The Tennessee Titans are the only team in the National Football League that takes on the mindset and the bravado of their head coach. That's tough. We don't make excuses. This team could have made a million excuses this year. Along with the Baltimore Ravens, they have been one of the most depleted teams this year when it comes to players being available, especially players who you count on to make plays week in and week out. But then I'm going to go to the schedule. They went through a stretch where they beat the Bills and Josh Allen. They beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They beat the Colts. They beat the Rams and Matthew Stafford. They beat the Saints, and they beat the 49ers. And the only reason why I mentioned the Saints and the 49ers is because they still potentially have an opportunity to make the playoffs. You tell me another team in the AFC or the NFL who has beaten the teams that Tennessee Titans have beaten in one season during that stretch. I like my Tennessee Titans. But the reason why I had this crown on, hey, man, happy birthday. My boy Derrick Henry's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, King Henry. My boy back today. He had practice today. King Henry is back.
Not a bad way to celebrate.
Say, man, I dig the Tennessee Titans. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, but I ain't got them going to no damn Super Bowl, Harry. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, call me lame, call me old, but when you talk about experience and knowing what these playoffs are going to entail, I got the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And you look at this team, and I get it. They just lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, and I give the Bengals a ton of respect. The Bengals beat the Chiefs. It wasn't a fluke. They beat the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs had a callback touchdown return, and Tyreek dropped a deep ball that probably would have ended up in some points. But ultimately, when I look at the playoffs, man, and you lock in on a number of things, and when we look at this season in particular, the one thing that we can pull away from the NFL this year is unpredictable, right? So I'm not going to kill the fact that you're saying the Tennessee Titans will end up in the Super Bowl, but I'm going to go, when we get to the playoffs, I'm going to go with experience. I'm going to go with the team that understands not only how hard it is to get there, but a team that I've seen have the ability to raise their level and run off 8 straight when we thought they were dead in the water and couldn't get things fixed from a team standpoint. I got confidence in Andy Reid as well to keep the ship steady. Patrick Mahomes is going to play at a high level. Everybody, mark it down. Like you marked it down with the Tennessee Titans. Mark it down today. Patrick Mahomes will remind all of us throughout this playoffs why he's Patrick Mahomes and why we had that type of energy about who he was as a quarterback early and often in his career. I'm boring. I'm sticking with what I believe to be true. And I believe that experience and a team that arguably has the best player, and the only reason I say arguably is because Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. But the team that has arguably the best player in the NFL playing quarterback in crunch time situations, that would be Patty Mac, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, after all that, I'm going to say the Titans. It's really simple. The fact that they lost Derrick Henry and we thought they'd be dead in the water, and in fact, because of that defense, because of their physicality, because of guys like Kevin Byard, they're still in it. They're still the AFC South champs. They could still get the top seed in the AFC. And Derrick Henry is coming back. That run game, that defense, Ryan Tannehill, I'll say the Titans.
Hey, listen, Spears, you played D-line, right?
Sure did.
Jeffrey Simmons, DeNico Autry, Bud Dupree, Harold Landry III.
I'm not about to fight y'all. Woo. I'm not about to fight y'all on the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to just sit here and watch y'all when the Chiefs win. When we back on First Take again. I'll be here to holler at y'all.
Look, the Titans, well, first of all, happy birthday to Derrick Henry. Didn't realize it was his birthday yesterday.
It's great a big way, birthday month.
Great way to sell it. Yeah, this, by the way, on the podcast, this one, we'll stop talking about it. It's her birthday this month. And by the way, she doesn't do one day. It's the whole month. So be prepared for all that. But look, Derrick Henry, he's been gone for 8 weeks. He's still the sixth ranked running back in the league. So the fact that he's coming back, huge for the Titans.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
And the Ravens need a few things to happen in order to make the playoffs. That does include winning their final game against the Steelers. The problem, though, Lamar Jackson is still listed as questionable with a right ankle injury. So that leaves Tyler Huntley looking at his fourth straight start. The mission ahead of him, helping the Ravens, who are now 8-7, end their four-game losing streak. Okay, the Ravens, they have reached the playoffs in each of Jackson's first three seasons. But now things are looking a little bit cloudy. So, Marcus, have we seen the best of Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, we have. And that doesn't mean that has nothing to do with the fact that he won't continue to play at a high level. See, these questions in First Take are built to kind of get you, like, stuck in some kind of sinkhole. But I don't get stuck in sinkholes. Y'all know that.
Never.
What we've seen from Lamar Jackson is MVP-level football. And he'll continue to play at that level. Lamar Jackson needs to fix turnovers. All right, somebody got to say it. He got to stop turning the football over. Outside of that, Lamar Jackson is the reason that we see the Baltimore Ravens having this amount of success year in and year out during the regular season. Does he have more to prove? Yes. He got to win a Super Bowl. That's his goal. I ain't say it. That's what Lamar said. Prove, and have we seen the best of, is I've seen Lamar play at the highest level of anybody in the game. And I think we've seen that a number of times. Even in times where we thought Lamar could have done more, they won the game because eight was on the football field. See, here's the thing that I always like tell people when we having these conversations, because it's a certain tier of guys and it's a certain respect and manner in which we should talk about them. Lamar has earned that ability. He's earned that right for us to talk about him in context of winning championships, being elite as far as being in the MVP conversation, having an opportunity to win every single game because he's the quarterback for his football team. We all can focus on the attrition that the Baltimore Ravens suffered. We can talk about the injuries on defense and offense. We can talk about the change. Lamar injuries himself, battling COVID, being sick, missing times. And we sit here today, and I got to give Tyler Huntley love too, because Tyler Huntley done held it down.
Yes.
And then gave the Baltimore Ravens opportunities to win football games. Don't ask me a damn question about if Tyler Huntley should be the guy over Lamar Jackson. No. I don't want to hear anybody ask me that question. I don't want to talk about it. No. Lamar Jackson is the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens now and going forward, and he gives them the best opportunity to win a championship. But have we seen the best? Yes, because we've seen Lamar be better than everybody in the NFL at a point in his career. Now it's about how long can he sustain that and continue to play at a high level and give his team a chance to win a championship.
See, Marcus, I disagree. I don't think we've seen the best of Lamar Jackson because of this simple fact here. We've seen Lamar Jackson play at a high level, right? So he's growing. He's getting better. But for some reason, his offensive coordinator is still staying stagnant and still staying the same. Now, I think John Harbaugh needs to put some pressure on Greg Roman, and they need to figure out how this offense can be more innovative around the skills that we have already honed to see with Lamar Jackson. The receivers, they need to stay healthy. They need to produce more. Mark Andrews is a leading guy. Mark Andrews is a leading guy. And I have no problem with Mark Andrews because I think he's becoming one of the better tight ends in the National Football League, especially this year, because he's been the one constant for this team along with Lamar Jackson when he's been out there offensively and defensively. But I feel like Greg Roman, these receivers, and this offense has to be more innovative moving forward. And then I think once we see that, we can see another bit. And I agree with you 100%. Lamar got to get rid of these turnovers. And granted, I understand he's trying to be Superman because they're so depleted in so many areas. But he has to take care of the football more. But I don't think we've seen the best of them because of the simple fact that their offensive court, they don't even know how to beat cover zero, Marcus. How in the hell do so many times throughout a season, you don't figure out how you... So I put that on the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in there up all night long figuring out how Lamar Jackson and this offense can defeat cover zero. And then when I look at the two-point conversion play that they run, all of them are kind of similar. There's no creativity.
Little out route.
All you're seeing is rollouts and this whole nut. But I think the reason why I think we haven't seen the best of Lamar Jackson is because I think offensively this team could be more creative and use his skill set at another height than what we already seen him do.
Done deal. Hey, Harry, you got this one. You got this one. See how big of a man I am? See how big of a man? I was thinking in context, though, because Lamar is always a very nuanced discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's not in the same vein as how we judge quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So we can't have the same conversation about Lamar that we have about Pat or we have about Aaron or we have about guys that have been MVPs in the league. And I'm glad we can get out of that damn fishbowl, Harry. But what I was thinking when we was coming into this conversation is I've seen Lamar throw for the 304 touchdowns and have the great QBR. I've seen Lamar use his legs and devastate teams. Saw him win a playoff game when everybody said he couldn't. So ultimately, look, what you talking about is the ability for players to get better, right? Get better as you continue to grow and you add nuance and things to your game that allows you not to have to rely on some things that won't sustain you for the rest of your career. This is something I done talked about with Lamar since his second year. Develop a passing game and see if he can do it. I have full confidence that Lamar Jackson can push the ball downfield, throw with the best of them, have the opportunity to throw his teams to wins. But to your point with Greg Roman, you got to be allowed to. And we know Bateman was injured. We know Marquise was injured. We know Marquise had some drops this year that would make Lamar numbers look a little bit better. We all understand what's happening with the Baltimore Ravens. But ultimately, what you just said about having the ability to move forward and morph into other things in order to give themselves a chance to win a championship, I got to agree with you, brother. I lost on first take. It don't happen often, but you got me on this one.
Well, I think we can safely say we've seen the best of him for this season as it stands now. But as for the long-term future, we hope we can see more. They probably aren't going to make the postseason. The crazy thing is that the Ravens started out the season in the first 6 weeks having a 95% chance to make the playoffs. They started 5-1. They've now lost the last five straight. Their playoff chances now stand at just 4%. So let's look at who possibly is going to snag that last spot in the AFC heading into week 18. The Colts currently are favored to grab that spot, but they need either they need to beat the Jags or a Chargers loss in order to clinch the playoffs. Okay, so which AFC team, Marcus, are you most confident in to fill that last playoff spot?
The Colts. They playing the damn Jaguars, Charlie.
Thank you.
I mean, we just saw the Jaguars get a 50-piece put on them from the New England Patriots. They don't know what the hell they doing in Jacksonville. They got a lot of work to do. And ultimately, you got one team playing for everything. I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to lay down or the players going to be like, hey, let's help facilitate the Colts getting into the playoffs. But the Colts are the better team. They should win as long as Carson Wentz don't have a YOLO game. Like, just don't have a YOLO game. What you do to come to the forefront. That's run the football. That's your offensive line be dominant. Carson makes three or four really good throws, really good plays, use his legs, and let this defense led by Darius Leonard eat and turn Trevor Lawrence over because he's a turnover machine right now as a rookie. Not all his own fault. The Colts.
Yeah, I think the Colts have the easiest path, but I'm going to go with the Chargers just because I think the Chargers can make some of the most noise in the AFC if they get in, and a lot of teams wouldn't want to play them. So I'm going to go with the Chargers, Justin Herbert.
But you said they can make the most noise in the playoffs, but they have to get to the playoffs first. So you think they have the best chances?
No, the best chances is the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, yeah. There you go. So that would mean best chances.
But I'm going with the Chargers. I want the Chargers to get into the playoffs.
Okay, well, the Colts definitely have the best chances at 81%. Chargers only have 58%. Okay, guys, thank you so much for that compelling debate. And thank you, Marcus, for saying the Colts, because, you know, I'm an indie girl, so
yes,
I needed
Charlie,
someone here on my
side. Yes, Charlie, give me one of them gold chains.
I got you.
All right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
I'm very pleased with what Dak has been doing. And I can appreciate the challenges that we're facing from the defenses that we're playing. But in general, I'm going to say not thrilled to death. I'm ecstatic.
Okay, we're doing some quick takes. Jerry Jones, he's very pleased, not worried at all following the Cowboys' loss to the Cards. So, Marcus, should Jerry Jones be this excited right now?
Hell no. He's been watching this offense. And listen, I understand what he's saying about Dak. Dak threw for 226 and three touchdowns, no turnovers. Like, that's a solid game against the Arizona Cardinals. It was a lot of missed opportunities, though. It was a lot of out-of-sync offense. It was a lot of looking like it's just not a well-oiled machine for what you're about to have to face in the playoffs. That's my issue. I'm not ecstatic. I'm excited as hell that the Cowboys are in the playoffs because this is the season of unpredictable, and they can get hot.
Okay, now the Cowboys will face the Eagles to end the season. Both teams are playoff bound. So, Harry, is Philly a legit threat to Dallas in the postseason?
Well, Charlie, I'll say this first. Any team that's able to make the playoffs is a threat to whoever they're playing because all it takes for you is to be better that day when you're playing that team, and you never know what can transpire. But do I think the Eagles will beat the Cowboys eventually? No. We already seen it one time this year in Dallas. The Cowboys thumped the Eagles. Now, can the Eagles beat man coverage? I don't think they can because the Dallas Cowboys love to play man coverage. But one thing that the Eagles do have on their side, offensive line and defensive line, things start in the trenches.
Marcus, you agree with that?
Yeah, they present some challenges, but ultimately you go with the team that's best. And the best team out of these two are the Dallas Cowboys. Now, ultimately, what Harry said is what I say all the time. Like, wipe the damn slate clean in the playoffs. Everybody stop. Wipe the slate clean because for 3 hours, all you got to do is have a couple things break your way. That's why the playoffs are so exciting. That's why the NFL is the best professional league we have. Because once you get to that, it's one and done. It ain't series. You don't have another opportunity. You don't walk off the floor saying, hopefully we can get them at home and all of that. You got one opportunity on whatever day you play for 3 to 4 hours to be a better football team. And can you string them together? Will luck fall your way? Will you get the turnovers? Will your kicker hit the field goals? All of those things come into play. So I'm looking forward to seeing it play. Anybody, to Harry's point, when you get to the playoffs, anybody can beat anybody. Y'all, when I was playing for the Cowboys, we beat the New York Football Giants twice in the regular season. We felt good about going into the playoffs. Lost to them. You know what their record was? 9-7. You know who they beat in the Super Bowl? An undefeated Patriots team. This the damn playoffs. Ain't nothing guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And you just reminded me of Eminem's song. You know, you only get one shot. Do not miss a chance. Okay, I'm going to stop right there.
Before we get fans.
Guys, it's going to be a totally. Hey, my producer is telling me not to sing. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. I'm bad. Okay. It is going to be a fun game. And guess what? We get to watch it on Saturday, 8:15. This game going down on both ESPN and ABC. So. No one's going to want to miss that one. Okay, guys, let's keep it moving.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.